Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so glad that you have joined me on today, and I may encourage you to grab your Bible to come right on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, we have a wonderful lesson that is for you on today. I'm going to be talking about the early church became witnesses of Jesus, and we're going to be looking at several verses of scriptures throughout the text for today. And I will be sharing with you as we go along the various texts that we're looking at on today. So let us pray and move right into our lessons for today. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We give you praise, glory, and honor to the glory of our Father. We recognize we can't do anything in and of ourselves. We choose to look to the hill from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Father, we take this time to bind the forces of darkness that will come against, Lord, the flow of your word to your people on today. And we declare your word will have precourse and have preeminence, and it will exact that which is due, and bless your people on today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. We're going to look at several passages of scripture, but it's going to be all in the book of Acts. So let's go to the book of Acts, and I'll share with you some of the scriptures and as we go along. Acts chapter 1, verses number 22, it reads, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Then also Acts chapter 2, verse 32, it states, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Acts chapter 3, verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Again, we're talking about the early church became witnesses of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, we are the witnesses of these things, and also is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Acts chapter 13, verse 31, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Acts 22, 15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. 3 verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Then our next scripture will be Acts chapter 26, verse 16 and verse 22. But raise and stand upon thy foot, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Verse 22, having therefore attained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And our final scripture would be Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Ghost empowers the believers to become witnesses of Jesus Christ, is what our thought will be on today. Again, we're going to be talking about the early church became witnesses of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he left the responsibility of evangelism in the hand of mankind. He spent 3.5 years of earthly ministry preparing his disciple for the task of spreading the gospel and the good news of salvation. Angelic beings do not witness or preach the gospel. Jesus placed this monumental task upon our shoulders. Now, the disciples and other believers did not begin this work, good work, until after they had received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Although they had witnessed the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost provided them with power to be effective witnesses for him. They were to be witnesses of Jesus, to tell who he was, to tell what his teaching was, and to tell of the miracles, the many miracles that he had performed. They were to proclaim that he was more than just a man, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. Their witnesses also included proclaiming his virgin birth and the many prophecies that he fulfilled through his death, burial, and resurrection. However, their ultimate purpose was to explain that the redemption plan of God was to restore fallen mankind to fellowship with him. Now, Jesus told them that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. After receiving their Pentecostal experience, they began to fill Jerusalem with the good news of salvation. They first offered it to the Jewish people, and then it spread to the Samaritan, who were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. Soon Peter preached to the first Gentile convert in the household of Cornelius. After Saul's tarnished conversion, his name was changed to Paul, and he became a missionary to the Gentile world. As he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ in many different cities, he gave his personal testimony of how the power of the Holy Ghost had transformed him and revealed to him Jesus' identity. Although he suffered great persecution and eventual martyrdom, he was a mighty witness of the Lord. Asia Minor heard the message of salvation from the mouth of this great evangelist of all time. Shortly before his death, he wrote over one half of the New Testament, which were we use as guiding principles for even the church on today. Now, the early church believers gladly fulfilled their role in evangelism to their generation. Many centuries later, as we were near the culmination of the age, our generation must accept the challenge to evangelize our world. The same spirit that empowered them to be effective witnesses enable us to be powerful channels and outlets, a blessing to proclaim to our world that Jesus is alive and still saved from sin. The stakes are high, and we must not fail to reach our world for him. Now let's take a look at the purpose for empowerment witnesses for Jesus. Luke specified that the witness was of Jesus. Spirit-filled believers were to be witnesses for Jesus Christ as the body of Christ on earth. Although Jesus no longer dwelled on earth bodily, he returned as a comforter in the hearts of each individual believer. When he was on earth physically, he was limited to being at one specific location at time, and he could only reach so many people because of time and distance. However, when he filled over 3,000 believers with his spirit on the day of Pentecost, they were sent many places sharing the gospel. It was an exponential explosion of evangelism. The witnesses of the early church were more than people who simply told of an acquaintance who had lived, died, and was buried. They were witnesses to the truth that he was more than an ordinary man. They had witnessed that the miracle and listened to his teaching and watched the unfolding drama of the crucifixion and witnessed the empty tomb. They had seen him alive afterwards and testified to the validity of his resurrection. More than all this, they had received the Holy Ghost and the power to boldly witness about the experience that they had. God's Spirit gave them power to stand up to scoffers, overcome resistance from authorities, and to ignore the ridicules from self-righteous Pharisees and others. Receiving God's Spirit initiated a relationship with him that brings a sense of oneness with God and causes the believers to feel his heartbeat and to desire that others know him. The Holy Ghost is like an station well as inside of us is nearly impossible to suppress. And so as we look further here, we recognize, amen, too, at this particular well is also just springing up on the inside of us, and it's nearly impossible to suppress as the flow, like a rushing mighty wind and the river, and seek out outlets of expression. It's a power that cannot be contained or held. Now, a witness is someone who has personally experienced the thing about which he is speaking about and does not speak from secondhand or third person, but as a person who has an experience of their own. Some people relate to this experience, amen, as a pass on information that others have told them, and it becomes slanted by their own perception and emotion. Certainly, the passing of information through conversation nearly always results in a distortion of truth, credibility because of their personal experience. And I want to say your personal experience with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a profound witness of what he is able to do. Now, let's look further. Share with others the good news of Jesus Christ and his ministry. Jesus wanted his story told, who he was, what he did, and why he did it. You'll see that in Isaiah 53:8. During the time of the apostle, people had many varying opinions about who Jesus was. The religious leaders of the day consistently tried to discredit his divinity, and they followed him like vultures looking for anything to criticize. Even as he spoke one Sabbath in Nazareth, they could not believe that the son of Joseph and Mary was the Christ. When he read from the prophet Isaiah in their presence, they were ready to stone him for blasphemy. Jesus asked his disciples specifically whom they perceived him to be. And you'll find it in Matthew 16:13-16. He wanted them to know who he was and to comprehend the full extent and impact of his earthly ministry. They had been with him and were eyewitnesses of his very existence and power. Later, some people would deny his existence or deity, but no one could dispute the strength of the disciples' personal witness of him. Now, the early church maintained the ultimate purpose to reconcile fallen mankind to fellowship with God. As they witnessed for Jesus, they related that he came to earth and to become our perfect sacrifice, the substitute lamb for our sin, that he knew no sin, tasted death for every person. Without his coming to earth and paying the price for salvation, we would be without any hope of eternal life. Because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, a heavy burden of sin fell upon mankind's shoulder. Disobedience to the relationship that mankind enjoyed with God and separated us from him. The early church witnessed to their generation about Jesus' purpose for coming to this world and why it was necessary for him to die on the cross. Empowered witnessing caused conviction to grip the heart of the people who heard Peter preach. They said, the same happened today when a preacher declared the word of God or when a believer witnessed to a sinner. Conviction gripped the heart and caused the sincere people to ask, what should we do about it? Along with the knowledge that we are sinners comes the guilt and the condemnation of our sin, and God draws us towards him through this conviction of our heart. The purpose of witnessing is not to condemn sinners, but to offer them a remedy for sin. When Peter's preaching brought them to conviction, he did not leave them there. He offered them a way out of their dilemma by telling them what they needed to do to be saved. Let's look at the witnesses that is found throughout the book of Acts. And I read earlier some of the scriptures that we talked about and what we will be sharing. Let's take a look witnessing unto Christ in Jerusalem. The preparation for witnessing. Before his ascension, Jesus instructed his disciples to return to Jerusalem and wait for the of the Holy Ghost, which would empower them to be effective witnesses. They obeyed him and waited in the upper room for the promised Spirit of God, for they could not witness or testify about something that they did not possess. Moreover, the Holy Ghost provided the unction and power to make testimony effective. Today, we still must possess this experience before we can effectively express it to others. However, it is an essential element of our salvation. Number two, Peter witnessed on the day of Pentecost. Before the day of Pentecost, Peter had denied Jesus. He and other disciples then fled for fear because of what might have happened to them. In the hours and days shortly after the death of Jesus, they even hid behind locked doors out of fear. However, when Peter stood and preached on the day of Pentecost, he stood as a spiritual transformed person. He preached with the holy boldness and fervor, but he did not stand by himself. The 11 other disciples stood with him as he proclaimed the gospel. And the difference in Peter was the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at number three. Peter witnessed on Solomon's porch. After their experience at Pentecost, revival fire blazed throughout Jerusalem. Peter and John went to the temple to pray one morning and met a lame man who asked them for money. The ministry to him of the healing power of Jesus' name caused a commotion as people witnessed the man who had been lame now leaping and dancing. As a crowd gathered, Peter preached to them. However, the religious leaders arrested Peter and John and detained them overnight. When the magistrates questioned them, Peter witnessed and preached to them as well. They commanded the disciple to stop preaching, but Peter boldly proclaimed that they would not stop. Upon their release, they met with other believers and had another prayer meeting. Let's look at number four. Peter witnessed before the Jewish council. Now, the revival described in the book of Acts was like a raging inferno, the burning throughout Jerusalem. The believers were witnessing with boldness, and their numbers were multiplying. Many signs and wonders were taking place, and the people were all in one accord. The miraculous always inspired interest among the outsiders who want to see the supernatural. However, God received glory because the supernatural power of God causes the miracle. When people unify, the work of God continues to increase dramatically. More people become believers. Indeed, there is power in unity. The religious leaders were frantic and tried to stop the church from growing. They even threw some of the apostles in prison. But on at least three occasions, the Lord miraculously opened doors and set them free. On one occasion, as recorded in Acts 5, the angel of the Lord sent them back to the temple to continue preaching and testifying of Jesus Christ. You'll find that in Acts 5 and 20. The authorities had them arrested and brought them before the council, but Peter and the apostle again boldly witnessed to them. The council had the apostle beaten, threatened them again not to speak in the name of Jesus and released them. But they rejoiced because they were persecuted for Jesus. Number five, witness for counsel. As the church grew, the numbers of the widows who increased and there was need for delegating the work of caring for them to some good men called deacons. One of them, the men, was named Stephen, was zealous for God, and the Lord mightily used him. He was witnessing and preaching until certain men of the synagogue started disputing with him. They stirred up the people and found false witnesses who testified against him. When questioned, Stephen answered by preaching to them. He never backed down. He continued to speak with faith and boldness. All of the men who sat in the council saw their face as if the faces of an angel. He preached, cutting them to their heart and gnashing them on him with their teeth. This, they cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him to death, while Saul of Tarsus, who was also involved in persecuting the church, kept their coats. Now let's take a look at another aspect. Witnessing unto Christ in Judea and Samaria. Philip witnesses in Samaria. It was not the will of God for the gospel to remain in Jerusalem for only a select group of people. The doors of salvation was first opened to the Jews, and many of them walked through it by obeying the plan of salvation. However, Jesus died for the sins of all people, and his will is that none should perish, but that everyone would obey the gospel and receive salvation. Jesus' last words to his disciples were that they would witness in the uttermost part of the earth, Acts 1 and 8. Early in his earthly ministry, Jesus had traveled through Samaria, where he met the Samaritan woman in Sychar and told her about living water. Perhaps also, Philip also went to Samaria and he preached Jesus Christ unto them. Perhaps the seed of revival that started when Jesus and the woman at the well was ripe and ready for the harvest when Philip arrived. With one accord, the people listened to Philip, and the miracle and deliverance took place. Great joy filled the city as many souls received the truth of the gospel. Certainly, God has a way of turning negative situations into opportunities with positive conclusion. The scattering and dispersion of the believers actually became a means of spreading the gospel. You'll see that in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Let's look at Paul's conversion and early witness. Saul continued to wreak havoc on the church. Just the mention of his name and whereabouts brought deep concern to the believer. His effort resulted in the imprisonment and persecution of many believers. Although Saul was a religious zealot who acted out of his ignorance and lack of understanding, God knew that Saul was sincere in what he was doing. He knew that he could turn the man around and make a great witness to the world. Therefore, the Lord placed the roadblock in front of him and gave him the opportunity to change his course of living. Saul suddenly realized that he had been fighting against God and his church. And shortly after his conversion experience, he began telling people that he had been wrong. Let's look at Peter witness in Lydia and Joppa. As Peter journeyed to various places to visit the believers, he found a man who had been paralyzed for 8 years. Peter prayed for him, and he rose from his sick bed immediately. Many people of the city knew him and turned to the Lord without question. gainsayers cannot argue with a miracle that God has performed. Peter then went to Joppa, where another miracle took place. Dorcas, a woman of good works, became sick and died. People sent for Peter, who came and prayed for her, and she rose from the dead. Now, Peter witnessed in Samaria. Jesus had given the keys of the kingdom to Peter and the chief spokesman to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. When the people of Samaria heard the gospel and believed, they sent for Peter to come. Later, a sincere, devout man named Cornelius became the first Gentile converted. An angel instructed him to send for Peter, who would tell him that he needed to hear what he needed to hear. The angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius, but he did tell him to find Peter. Of course, God had convinced Peter that salvation was for all people. Cornelius' household listened to Peter's preach and responded to the gospel, receiving the same experience as the Jews did at Pentecost. You'll see that Acts chapter 10 and verse 45. Let's look at witnessing unto Christ into the othermost part of the earth. It was the will of God for other nations to hear the gospel. The believers were scattered to many areas, and the church was growing everywhere. People began referring to the believers as Christian. They had first preached only to the Jews who lived there, but some of them later witnessed and preached to the garrison, who began believing and turning to the Lord in great numbers. When the Jewish people heard about the garrison accepting the gospel message, they sent Barabbas to investigate. However, revival continued in the area, and the Gentile church experienced tremendous growth. After Saul's Damascus road experience, God spoke to Ananias that Saul would be a chosen vessel. The Holy Ghost later spoke through the prophets and teacher in the church at Antioch that they should separate Saul and Barabbas for the work to which God had called them. After fasting and praying, the prophet and teacher laid hand on Saul and Barnabas before commissioning them and sending them out for ministry. Ministering both to the Jews and the Gentiles, Saul, who later became Paul, and Barabbas, preached in various places, including Cyprus, Pega, and various other places. The Jews soon realized that the church was much broader than the nation of Israel. They had to recognize the Samaritan and Gentile was becoming believers in great numbers, and questioned about circumcision and other matters were of great concerns to them. The writ of circumcision was a serious matter to the brethren from Jerusalem. Sincerely adhering to their teaching, they also was concerned about fornication, food offered to idols, things strangled. They listened to Paul and Barnabas report about what God was doing among the Gentiles. The council met and sent men to Antioch to deliver the results of their decision. They concluded that circumcision was not required, but all believers were to abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, for which if they keep themselves, ye shall do well. Acts chapter 15, verse 29. Now, shortly afterward, Paul separated from Barnabas and took Silas with him to a journey. Paul and Silas then went to Syria and to various other places as well. The experience in these cities and country would require much contemporary, but it was obvious that Paul did everything. He did everything within his ability and resources to evangelize the uttermost part of the earth. At least 13 of the New Testament book of the Bible contains Paul's letters of instructions in many of these areas. Paul was determined to spread the gospel to the world. Whether he was in jail or whether he was free, he was relentless witness to all who were a part of his world. Wherever he went, there was a riot or a revival or both. It has been said of Paul that if he wanted to mail him a letter in a certain city, just send it to the jail, because eventually he probably will be arrested for witnessing and preaching. Paul had a dream of preaching in Rome and witnessing unto Caesar. I must also see Rome, Acts chapter 19 and 21. The emperor persecuted him, soldier beat him, people stoned him, and he suffered shipwreck, all for the sake of the gospel. Now, the Holy Ghost comes to empower the believer. God initiates the process. Many eloquent speakers throughout the history have been able to convince people to follow them for their own causes. Their leaders rely on human spirit and emotion to motivate people to believe on them. Lawyers who twisted facts and used powerful words have swayed many jurors to bring a verdict that they deserve. They have manipulated witnesses on the stand to bring about a desired result. A vast difference exists between the tactics and the way that we are to witness for Jesus Christ. Truth is pure and transparent and unvarnished. God is truth. His word is truth. The truth is that the Lord forgives and delivers us from a life of sin and empowers us by his Holy Spirit. Our explanation for what happened to us when we experience conversion is more than words from our vocabulary, but the Spirit of God quickened them to our mind. Our witness of Christ is powerful by the unction and anointing of the Spirit. Paul could have spoken with eloquent, powerful words, but he chose simply to speak in the realm of the power and Spirit of God. When we witness as believers, those around us also feel the effect of the Spirit of God. Many people have witnessed to others and watched as the Holy Ghost moved on them. God initiated this process. Paul witnessed to Agrippa, nearly persuaded him to surrender to God. Felix accused Paul of being mad or crazy. Certainly, the empowering Spirit of God affected the hearers. Now, God desires results. The most effective way to reach sinners is to witness to them of your personal testimony. Paul used these methods continually, and God also chose it to reach our world. Someone has said that if a farmer plants one grain of corn and then plants each successful grain produced, enough corn would exist within 5 years to feed the world. If each believer would witness and reproduce themselves, we could reach the world for Jesus and bring about his desired result, a harvest of souls. Jesus knew the power of personal witnessing. In a court of law, the strength of a personal witness still determines the fate of an individual. A person may possess great wealth and attain the service of the finest lawyer, but the witness can either strengthen or weaken the case. Powerful witness is certainly the most effective tool in winning the lost. Jesus did not give his disciple a long list of rules and customs that he would be difficult to remember. However, he has spoken with them over 3 years regarding the principle of holy living, and about which they was to write in the epistle to the church. Jesus told his disciples that they should preach repentance and remission of sin in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. To bring about the desired result of making disciples, we should go back to the basic premises of personal witnessing and testimony. Now, in my conclusion, the purpose of empowerment was to be witnesses of Jesus. The gospel is a message of hope and deliverance to a world of despair, hopelessness, and negativeness. Jesus wanted his story told of who he was, what he did while he was on the earth. The gospel declared that he really lived and that he was Emmanuel, God with us. This message of hope became a reality when the Lord poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It was not for Jesus a select few. but for as many people as the Lord calls. After receiving our personal Pentecostal experience, we become his witnesses with power to effectively evangelize our world, beginning with people around us. This witness was not only for the Jews, but also for the Samaritan and even for the Gentiles. Prophets of old foretold that Jesus would be a light to the Gentiles. You'll see that in Isaiah 42 and 6. The gospel indeed brings rays of light to a darkened world, and we should declare the light of truth to those who are trying to find their way. Oh, my God, children of God, we have a great work. If we want that revival to start all over again, let us be those personal witnesses. Let us share the good news, what Jesus has done in your life, and share your testimony of what he's done, and tell them of who he is and what he's able to do is to deliver them from sin and empower them with power from on high to live above sin and reproach. May God send a spirit of inferno, a fire of the Holy Ghost. May it fall down upon we, his people, and that there will be a revival in this earthly realm as never before. Gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson on today. And Lord, talking about and sharing the early church who became the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Let us increase our witness, Lord, of what you have so miraculously done in our life individually and yet collectively. Father, we ask, oh God, that your sovereign and your holy will be done, and bless we, your people. Father, send the revival, stir the revival fire in our own hearts as we share of your goodness unto the multitude. And Father, we thank you as never before as I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every one, and we'll give you the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' wonderful and matchless name. Amen and amen. Well, child of God, I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I pray that this lesson was a blessing unto you. And as you will witness unto the Lord, that's in Acts chapter 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the Samaria and into the othermost part of the earth. May we be a great witness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, I pray that there will be a no sorrow blessing come to you and your household. As I always say, that if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7 and 7. Until we meet again, encourage someone, invite someone to meet us here at home. Until we meet again, God richly bless you. It's my prayer. Bye-bye.